As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Tuesday, August the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you always, especially on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as we're joined by Vicki Davis. We're going to go into some very interesting research today. You won't want to miss a moment of today's two-hour broadcast. And if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone, but you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. In our interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can call throughout the program. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email. It's bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's BVL, just like Become Vocal Local, bvlhost@centurytel.net. Always appreciate your emails. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96. Exeter, Missouri, 65647. And a big shout-out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. Today, precious metals, commodities, stocks, crude oil, all trade lower. U.S. dollar index rises imperceptibly. Lots of news out there, financial news. We won't cover too much of that, just a few moments worth. Returning guest Vicki Davis is going to discuss her research into the Genome Project. She's also got some other very interesting little tidbits and innuendos, and I'm sure you're going to be very interested with that. Of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go to those market reports. Put that behind us for this morning, Tuesday, August the 18th, 2009. Active trading New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold trading up $1.60 at $934.60, and silver losing 6 cents on morning trading at $13.92. Platinum loses $4, trading at $1,217 an ounce, and palladium up $1, $267. The low and the high in the gold spot market so far this morning, 933.40 for a low, 941.10 for a high. At $934.60 an ounce, gold is up $148.30 year to year for an 18.87% return on your investment. Boys in London set the gold prices this morning at $938.25. You can see we're $4 below that now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, the NASDAQ, and the S&P all took it strong in the shorts yesterday. The Dow dropping 186 to 9135, the NASDAQ down 55 to 1930, and the S&P losing 24 to trading at 980. The crude oil up a dime, 66.85. U.S. dollar index up 6 basis points, trading at 79.25. And in the foreign exchange rates, we're looking at the Canadian dollar running at 90 cents, the Mexican peso at 8 cents, Euro for $1.41. We'll pick it all up right there when we come back from the other side of this first break. Stay with us.
Part Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, August the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Joined again today by Vicki Davis. We're going to go into lots of very interesting material. I think I've just about had a stomach full of the market reports for today, but the gold is trading up $1.60 at $934.60. Silver was off 6 cents, trading at $13.92. Without further ado, let me bring up Vicki Davis. Vicki, good morning.
Good morning. Well, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You sure sent a lot of information to me over the weekend. I appreciate getting that. I was weeding through well over 100 emails, responding to inquiries and whatnot, and trying to pay attention to this incredible material that you sent to me. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, you did a little wrangling on your website, and you set up a Become Vocal Local page so that the audience would be able to take advantage of the links that we're talking about. Why don't you tell the audience how they can get there?
Okay, yeah. If they go to my website, which is www.channelingreality.com, on the left-hand side in the column, there's a link called Become Vocal Local. And if you click on that, it will take you to a web page where I've listed the links to the materials on my website that we'll be talking about today, just to make it easy, for people to find what it is that we're talking about.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'll tell you what, I am so internet challenged. I just barely handle and facilitate the browser and my email box, but one of these days I'll figure out how to build a website and get it up. But folks, until then, this is a great opportunity for you to look at the material that we're talking about right on Vicki's website. So again, it's www.channelingreality.com. And then when you get there, you can click on the link on the left-hand column there in the text box, and it just says Become Vocal Local. Click on that and follow along with us during the broadcast. Now, Vicki, you sent up a whole bunch of material. One of them is a very interesting article in regards to the Genome Project and things like that, but you wanted to kind of set that up and give some background material. Why don't you do that?
Okay. Well, I started researching the nationalized medical records when I realized that there was a connection, you know, back in the early 90s with the reinvention of our government and the internet and the enterprise architecture, which is the map. You can call it a map or a blueprint of the redesign of the federal government systems, which is what the reinvention of government was all about, leaving aside the connecting it up to the international, you know, setting up an international governance structure.
Right.
So in researching the nationalized medical records path, you know, the history of it, somehow, I don't know, the idea of the Human Genome Project came to mind, and so obviously that is the Genome Project is directly linked to nationalized medical records, and so I basically traced the whole history of that, and in doing that, the Human Genome Project research, I was able to piece together what the design of the new healthcare system is going to be.
And really the purpose behind it, too. So the idea of building this computer system, putting together this IT framework underneath all of what was to come in the last decade of the 20th century and the first decade of the 21st century, laying out this internet, getting it up, getting it interoperable, and expanding it globally was essential. Open framework so that everybody could get onto it, and take access, having the opportunity to be able to view, even really confidential research, became part of that matrix as well. So, all of these things work together, folks, to make this transition or this reinvention of government to this whole nother capacity sharing framework that we now find ourselves in. And Vicki, I don't know, I'm confident that you may share the same view, but this looks like a double-edged sword. It's like the sword of Damocles. All of this interoperability is good on one side, but on the other side, it's so susceptible to abuse that it's almost enough to keep you awake at night.
Well, yeah, and basically the internet as the backbone and the public-private partnerships between corporations and government, what they've basically done with the internet is turn our country into a big corporation, and the internet serves is the nerve center of that corporation. And, you know, for logistical purposes in the computer system, everybody and everything in this country is an asset or a liability to be tracked, monitored, and traced by the computer systems.
Well,
you know, they're part of this architecture.
Yeah, two of these liabilities surfaced over in the last day or two. I received an email from one of our listeners here locally almost a week ago. Well, I don't imagine it wasn't quite that long ago, but it was days ago anyway, it feels like. And this has to do with this new warning that the swine flu vaccine, or whatever you want to call this thing, is linked to a deadly nerve disease. That has gone almost viral on the internet. Many people are reporting about that. And then this morning received another piece of information in regards to this this Israeli Mossad character who seems to have another link in this pharmaceutical soup. So these things, could we could say that in one regard, these are good things to be able to bring information like that out, but it also for government creates a liability, because when they're trying to run a con job on the people and get everybody to roll up their sleeve and line up and surrender their bloodstream to the government, these kind of pieces of breaking news could upset their whole apple cart.
That's true, and that might be the objective. That's the thing that today, you know, with everything that's going on in our country, we never know, you know, what is a real story, a real event, and what is a staged event, you know, for a purpose. And
well, misinformation, disinformation, that sort of stuff comes in there. Certainly, we do want to get outside of the box, outside of the government-prepared pabulum, and at least stay open to the possibility of other points of view. But at the same time, folks, we need to have our antennas of discernment right up, all the way to the outside, because things are coming on us and at us rapidly. So is the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us with Vicki Davis.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
And we have returned, and just for the audience's benefit, folks understand that when Auguste Comte came up with this idea of sociology and crowned it as the queen of sciences, trumping philosophy at his time back in the 1850s, one of the things that he visualized in all of this was actually putting the human being, if you will, that politically socialized creature called people, under the microscope, the great microscope, putting us into a petri dish, sliding us under the microscope, and examining people as the focus of science. And so in this couple of pieces of news articles, Vicki, this one that just came out here with this Guillain-Barre syndrome, another syndrome, GBS, which could be triggered by the vaccine, that's a neurological problem. And also this other article about this Riley coming up with his take on this weaponized vaccine. We've got a lot of parts and pieces in this matrix insofar as we can understand that part of the sociological study, part of this study, is looking at how the people react, how they react to the news, how they react within their social ecology, how they react within their environment, how doctors react, how the news media reacts to all of these various and sundry things. All of them become variables in the various experiments that are being brought on us and at us by the super social scientists that are supporting the ruling aristocrat or the elite of the world. So, you know, tying it back to your genome project, the idea of being able to live monitor people who have been injected with these various toxic soups for the medical profession, they can do modeling and studying and things like that. Certainly there would be some genetic tie-ups to putting together these kinds of vaccines that we need to be aware of. But, I don't know, just kind of pick it up someplace in there. I'm trying to grasp at straws here as to wrap my mind around this genome project and all of its significance.
Well, I know it does get deep, doesn't it?
It does.
Before we do that, we should tell them that the article that came out about this news story in regards to Baxter and the flu vaccine as a bioweapon is posted on Rents.com, and it's called Bizarre. Mystery Man Claims Baxter Fluvax is a bioweapon. And the nexus between that story and the flu vaccine occurs at the point of, well, first of all, let me say that when computer people design computer systems, oftentimes what they will do is they need a demonstration for why the project is necessary. And so, you know, if a justification exists, great. You know, but if management just wants the new system, then, you know, there might be a demonstration project as to why this is necessary. Now, in this story about this guy in Los Angeles at Rents, apparently, according to the news reports, he called and threatened the White House. But that is in dispute. He said he was warning them. They say he was threatening them, but that Baxter Labs, the vaccine that was produced by Baxter that was contaminated was actually produced in the Ukraine, and it is an engineered bioweapon. And, okay, one of the other systems, the global systems that is being developed in addition to nationalized medical records, is an emergency management system that includes all types of responses for all kinds of emergencies and disasters. And, of course, a biological attack is it would be an emergency, a disaster response.
Yeah, they talk about the all-hazard multi-task force jurisdictional planning system is all natural and man-made hazards. And so, obviously, any kind of a biological release on the people, even spills, you know, things like that, hazard chemical spills and whatnot, even nuclear spills or brownouts or all manner and sundries of things could fall under this. But again, it does trigger this FEMA's all hazard mitigation planning program, the SEMA, the FEMA, the fusion centers, and all the rest.
Right, and if you break one of those mercury light bulbs in your house.
Oh my God, my window sills are painted with lead paint.
911 emergency.
Bring in the guys with the yellow suits, folks. We need some breathing apparatus here. Lead paint.
But anyway, that's the difficulty in this day and age is discerning, you know, what is a dialectic and what is a real story.
Well, I think you've got a real story here. Let's go into it because there's so much to cover on this. We've got a two-hour segment today. We can continue it on Thursday. But let's start in on this. And, folks, if you want to go to www.channelingreality.com, and you'll find the Human Genome Project there. If you click on the link, Become Vocal Local on the left side of the page, you'll be able to go over and look at this report. It's a 28-page PDF file. It's titled The Human Genome Project, and it starts out, the Human Genome Project formally began in 1990 as a joint effort between the Department of Energy and the National Institute of Health. Now, what's with that, Vicki, Department of Energy?
Yeah, because the Department of Energy was involved in biological research on the effects of radiation, and also because of the technology needed to analyze health effects in a networked kind of way. So that was the interest of the Department of Energy. And then, of course, the National Institutes of Health, their goal is medical research. And so, you know, they through another memorandum of understanding.
Oh boy!
They agreed to participate in this project for the human genome, to analyze and dissect the human genome.
Well, when you start out here, you've got some bullet points. I'll just share them with the audience so they can get an idea of where we're going in all this. But to identify all of the approximately 20,000 to 25,000 genes in human DNA, I had no clue that there were that many genes in the, you know, that's quite a few. That's more Levi's than I have in my closet. But then it says determine the sequence of the 3 billion chemical base pairs that make up human DNA. Store this information in databases. Improve tools for data analysis. And transfer related technologies to the private sector and address the ethical, legal, and the social issues that may arise from this project. I mean, we're opening a Pandora's box.
Yes, it is. That's a perfect description for it. Because it really is the DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. I remember that from seventh grade. I memorized it back then. But anyway, it's the instruction set for life, human life.
Well, that's actually all
we're talking about. I, thou, and I, it. We're getting into a very deep I, it discussion today. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us. 3 minutes.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, and our call-in number, folks, if you'd like to join in the discussion today, is 866-841-1065, visiting with our very special guest, Vicki Davis, going through some information. You can access this on our website. Just go to www.channelingreality.com. Look on the left, find Become Vocal Local. Click on that and bring yourself right into the Human Genome Project, which is where we left off before the break. We think about the DNA as the instruction set for life here in your article, Vicki. We have a guest coming back tomorrow and again probably for a couple more weeks, Daryl Everhart. We're talking about the rise of Papal Rome and the Crusades and all of that. But, you know, they were looking for the Holy Grail over there, you know, at the Crusaders and all that. But when we start to look inside ourselves, you know, we go to the car lot and buy a car, and there's a little book in the glove box that tells you where to put the key and how to open the trunk, where your gas tank is, and so on and so forth. But if you're really going to get serious about that automobile, you need to get the service manual, which is sometimes two or more volumes. It goes into every little technical detail and aspect. And so looking at us, our existence the human being. This DNA, as you say, is the holy grail of the biological sciences and tells us more about ourselves than we probably would ever like to know.
Yeah, chemically anyway. And that was the objective, because what they wanted to, well, by the 1980s, the knowledge of DNA and technology both had reached a point, you know, to where it, combining the two, you know, with computer systems to analyze the structures, the chemical structures and whatever of DNA. I don't know, I'm real weak on this area.
Well, certainly
structures of DNA.
Certainly not something that you'd be able to facilitate too well with an abacus, especially like people like John McCain would have always had one bead short on his abacus. But, you know, this is not something that would be really something you could discuss until after we'd made the leap into this high-speed computing process that would make this kind of research even possible.
Right. And so in 1988, the Department of Energy, I believe it was, produced this report called Mapping Our Genes, Genome Projects, How Big, How Fast. And it's a full analysis of what they would have to do to basically initiate a Manhattan Project for genetics research.
And now the Manhattan Project was the one that they used to come up with the atomic weapon and the atomic energy project?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So it's of that scale. That's what why I brought it up.
Yes.
Okay.
And... So, and all of the major institutes that were engaged in genetics research at the time participated in the production of this report, you know, to lay out the requirements for this project. Okay. And let's see.
Well, when you bring in people like Howard Hughes, you know, he was a real reclusive, unusual fellow. You know, he's very much a homophobe, actually, not from a homosexual standpoint, but really almost afraid of people. In the last part of his life, he was just kind of sequestered. But he comes in, he brings in his money with it. Collaborative Research, Inc., you bring out in here also another large private corporation. And then we tie that up with the universities and privates. So we've got public-private partnership going on here on steroids, but we're also bringing in the philanthropic aspect of the moneyed classes.
Right. Yeah. The principal organizations involved in genome research were the National Institutes of Health, Department of Energy, the National Science Foundation, and the Howard Hughes Medical Institute in Salt Lake City. And I thought that was one of the most interesting parts of this research, was that Howard Hughes actually, in his will, he allocated quite a lot of money to start up an institute for genetic research. And at the end of his life, yeah, he kind of went insane. He had germophobia also, and he was afraid of he was afraid of everything, you know, towards the end of his life.
Well, the more you learn about, you know, biology, the more you learn about science, the more you learn about disease and how disease, you know, travels and things like that, the more aware you become of all of that. Especially, you know, if you've got the money to sequester yourself, you know, your desire to be out in the marketplace or shopping at the mall or going to a grocery and touching everything that everybody else has touched, you know, that kind of, you'd rather send your chauffeur.
Yeah.
Give me a couple of dozen eggs and a few loaves of bread. Come back when you can and wash your hands before you put it on the table.
Uh-huh. anyway, let's see, also the Army, they considered the Army Institute of Pathology to be a resource because the Army, since, 1949, the Army, Navy, and Air Force joined into this institute, and they have tissue samples, over 2.2 million cases of slides from patients from over 50,000 pathologists associated with more than 19,000 hospitals and clinical facilities. So chances are, if you've ever been in the military, they've got slides of your tissue in their repository. And tissue samples are really valuable to researchers for this kind of research.
And it's a lifelong kind of a process. And again, this is something that points to the impossibility of these kind of projects and this kind of a dream without access to a powerful computing database, interoperable, interlinked throughout not only the United States, but we have bases, in 120 or 130 countries around the world. If you're just using samples from military staff, if you will, they've been exposed to various and sundries. You can compare them with their military records, the military, police, firemen, things like that, all of that. Those records would be of special interest because of their exposures to certain things and the requirements to take certain vaccines and so on and so forth. And so you really start to develop a big petri dish with lots of samples in it.
Right. But the ultimate goal really is to have a really big and diverse population that you can study, including the environmental factors that may or may not affect your predisposition towards certain diseases. And so ultimately that's what this genome project, following it and the systems and all of it, you see that the design of the new healthcare system just fits right into that game plan, which is what I find most disturbing about this new design, this redesigned healthcare system.
Well, we get the kind of clues when they start talking about y'all come, you know, y'all can, everyone included, the big umbrella, no child left behind. Everyone gets into this database. Everyone is inside of this system. Those are the things that block freedom, that raise the red flags, and it has all across America. We see that in the outpourings at the town hall meetings. Whether they're agitated or not, there's a legitimate concern. So giving this much of a key, if you will, to the government is not at all a good plan. It's a really foolhardy thing. But let's go into this, too, because as we go through this, we're going to find, folks, that a lot of the drive behind this is going to be linked to certain mindsets. You can go all the way back and pick up Malthus, Thomas Malthus, and the Malthusian theory. You get involved with people who have the idea that certain kind of peoples on the planet are better than others or more fit. It's the Darwinist idea, the survival of the fittest, and so on. We're really talking about what's the proper term for that, Vicki?
Eugenics.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's what was outlawed. I guess Hitler was doing a lot of that over in Germany, at least according to the history that I've seen.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we'll pick that genetics up on the other side of this break, folks, because there's a lot of it involved in this discussion. We'll be right back.
Sure.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals. sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Are you one of the people who think, "I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me"? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we have returned once again visiting with Vicki Davis. We're just going in now. We're going to open up another can of worms in all of this so that we can understand, you know, folks, there's those out there that actually do believe that there are some that are, you know, all of the animals in George Orwell's Animal Farm are equal, but some are more equal than others. And so by studying into and gaining understanding of the genetic structure of people, what make one kind of person or one person with certain experiences, like this fellow, this Moshe, in the earlier article discussed, resilient and able to withstand more chemical bombardment of his body. What makes someone resistant to flu strains? What makes somebody resistant to pneumonia and things like that? It has a lot to do with his gene structure, and so the eugenicists got involved in this process. You know, you can understand eugenics just by looking at the word. Gene is right square off in the middle of it, Vicki. But you say here, the Cold Spring Harbor is a biological research laboratory on Long Island, New York. It's been in continuous operation since the turn of the century. And in 1904, it became a major player in the eugenics movement funded by the Carnegie Institute. And so now we bring in the foundations, their power, and their influence.
Yeah, and included in that article, Stanford President David Jordan originated the notion of race and blood in a 1902 racial epistle titled Blood of a Nation. And so they thought that poverty and all the ills of mankind were passed along through blood. And that's where the wealthier people and the blue bloods, you know, the lineage, they consider themselves superior, even though it's demonstrably true that they aren't.
Exactly.
I mean, they have all of the same ills as everybody else. You know?
Well, this guy, David Starr Jordan, is very interesting. I've come across him numerous times in my research. And, folks, if you want to just put him into his name into the browser and look him up and do a little bit of Google work on him, I think you'll be very interested. But David Jordan is like I like to say, he's a real piece of work.
Yeah, yes. And so the whole eugenics movement actually started in the United States, in California, and the research that was funded by both Carnegie Institute, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Harriman Railroad fortune. And it was done, the initial research, of course, was done at the prestige universities, Stanford, Yale, Harvard, and Princeton. And
they had a real petri dish up there in New York, you know, Staten Island being one of the immigration import centers. You know, people come in, you go through and you bare your soul and you lay out all of your paperwork, please. And, you know, you make your application for immigration into the United States. And some would go inland to get, you know, to relatives and things like that. But in this time period, in the early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s, a lot of them would hold up in New York, right up in there. And so, you know, this would be a great opportunity to bring some of these people into their various studies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and according to Edwin Black, you know, the Rockefeller Foundation helped to found the German eugenics program that was run by Joseph Mengele. I guess before he went to Auschwitz to run the medical program at Auschwitz. So, I mean, this genetics research thing goes back, and it has a very dark history of, just really terrible things, I think.
Well, there's a mindset that's involved in all that, that would set you up. I mean, in any research laboratory, in any engineering office, in any planning or architectural firm, you know, you've got your regular wage earners just sit there and turn the handle and crank things out. But then you've got other people who are involved at higher levels in this, and even sometimes the lower levels, who really just don't have a good intent. Their intent is contaminated by some philosophically radical concept that they're holding or notion in their minds, and it colors their work, and it shapes the direction that they take their research. You know, you can sit down and you want to map out the genes, and you want to figure out, you know, what makes its tomato resilient and all of that, and then you could go to work for Monsanto and sit down and map out the genes of some tomato plant that self-destructs, kills its own seeds, and kills all of the good tomatoes within 100 yards of it, or a mile or two.
Right. And for a nation, I mean, you know, you could see possibly a benefit in being able to breed mathematicians, you know, as if people are animals, and you find out what the genetic makeup is for people that have an inherent understanding of mathematics, and you just, you know, breed yourself an army of scientists.
Yeah, and take it anywhere. You know, people who have a proclivity towards athletic achievement, people who are militaristic, people who are nurturing and caring and make good doctors, people who have that would be good street sweepers. So this thing is a huge process. And, you know, we talked in the past, Vicki, about your research into the Global Job Bank and the American Job Bank. All of these things are, you know, when we first started talking, and listeners, you can go back in the archives and access this for yourself, but in the very first talks, we were talking about war in the context of everything else. You know, it's like war.
Yeah,
war, you know, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, you know, it's like a song, but nevertheless, war in the context of everything else, when we start to look at the everything else, war kind of falls into a quiet place in the background.
Well, there are different types of war. I mean, not all wars are shooting wars. And what we're engaged in on the internet, as a matter of fact, is an information war. And one of the commercials, I think, on Alex Jones is, you know, there's a war for your mind. And that describes it precisely. So war in the context of everything else is a different kind of war. It's terrorism is a different kind of war. You know, not everything involves military soldiers, you know, with guns shooting at each other.
Right, right. So as we go into this, the Hughes Medical Institute was established, and again, he had his will written before his first marriage that provided for the creation of an institute for medical research and all of that. And this thing continues along, and then they start building up, as you say here, the research infrastructure and the environment. Very interesting point here. At this point, it must be said that we recognize the fact that there were and are many good people involved in the Human Genome Project. It's kind of like a reiteration of what I just said. But who have the best intentions for mankind, however? The size and the good and nature of the project and the dispersion of the knowledge and technology provided tremendous opportunities for corruption, profit, and malevolence. It is the intent of this paper and our discussion today to focus on that dark side, because the benefits of the human genome research needs no exposure. So as we go into this thing and start opening it up, we do start to see that just like any other tool, there's a proper or a good application, and then there are the wrong or the evil applications as well, and this is certainly not immune to evil application.
No, as a matter of fact, it's prime for it, because the basically it's whoever gets control of the genome, if they have a propensity towards this sort of thing, they could feel godlike in their ability to manipulate the genetic structure of man. And not only of man, but of other life forms as well.
And we see that. I mean, I brought up Monsanto just as an example in that. But, you know, and there is a difference in this, too, a little bit, I think, between the difference between breeding for the quality, let's say, the difference between a Percheron and a Clydesdale in draft horses, or between a Beagle and a German Shepherd, that sort of stuff. Produces offspring that are desirable for specific things. It's no less different than the overall process, but with the genome project, it has an opportunity to be more selective at a much more basal or genetic genesis level that we may not agree with this philosophically. So anyway, we'll pick it up right there on the other side, folks, as we begin hour number two. Complicated topic, deep topic. Vicki Davis is the guest. We'll be right back.
3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth. No other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, August the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Visiting again today with our guest, Vicki Davis. We're in a project here. It's called the Human Genome Project. If you want to access the documents that we're talking about, you can visit Vicki's website. It's www.channelingreality.com. She's created a new link on that page, on the home page on the left. It's called Become Vocal Local. That's the title of it. Just click on that, and you'll be brought over to the documents that we're talking about this morning. And certainly if you're driving or if you're listening to the archive, take an opportunity to go back later and take a look at this. We're going through it page by page. It's a little bit more complex than we can just throw out in the air and expect you to pick it up. But before we go too much further, and if it's not the right time, Vicki, just tell me that you're going to go there. But a lot of folk out there, and myself included, may not understand what is a genome map. And so writing from the perspective of knowing the end from the beginning, maybe you could give us a little idea of what is the genome map and why should we even be concerned?
Well, this is not my area of expertise, but what you're getting is a layman's understanding of it. But the DNA is chemical compounds. It's the chemistry of DNA, and the map would be the mixtures of the chemistry of the DNA. And if there are any biologists out there that can give you a better explanation, I would hope that they would call and help me out here. But the map that they would come out with would be the listings of the chemical compounds that are involved in a gene, and breaking it down from the gene all the way, you know, to the DNA level, which is the, I guess, the base level of the chemical compound.
So beyond the general concept here, then, of this, we need to understand that in order to really start to do work with this knowledge, even really to start to compare it accurately, you've got to develop a certain level of technology that can handle this stuff. And of course, then you're going to have to find clients, if you will, who will finance that. And so this is really more of where we're going in this, is all of the various technologies that were necessary to be created in order to work this way that are now being translated over into this new universal healthcare structure that we found even when we were looking at NATO and the structure of the military industrial complex.
I was just looking at something here. I wanted to, on, you know, the articles about the first designer baby that was born over in Britain using genetic screening, I wanted to get the compounds, the genes that cause breast cancer in women, or that give a propensity for cancer, breast cancer in women, are something called BRCA-1 and BRCA-2. And whatever those labels, those acronyms stand for, it's some chemical mixture. And so, you know, that's what my difficulty is in explaining this, because I understand it at a at an intellectual level, but I'm not a scientist. And so that's what the mapping is about, is to identify the unique genes that make up that cause a certain attribute in a person.
And we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail, and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. But using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Tuesday, August the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, and, of course, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're joined by Vicki Davis. It's amazing, Vicki, but as we were going into the break here, when I get together with Vicki here like this on a weekly basis, it's just such a pleasure and a blessing, because we're in this process I've tied my little, knotted rag tail to this very big kite known as Vicki Davis, and I'm trying to hold on with a string, and it's just barely possible to hold on to a string. In the middle of the broadcast, she's off doing research on another sideline, and it's just amazing because, you know, what we're dealing with here is like a maze of information. There's so much in all of this. Going back to this Genome Project article, you say, on a technical level, the effort to map genetic structures promised to generate massive amounts of data that could not easily be shared without a central repository or a data warehouse that could be accessed by all researchers. And that brings us into an understanding of why it was so absolutely necessary to develop the technology that we're coming to you today, daily on the Internet. We're doing voice over Internet protocol. Vicki's out in Idaho. I'm out here in Missouri. We're hooked up with the Oracle Broadcasting Network out of Texas. We're broadcasting to AM and FM affiliate broadcasters around America, folks. And this is all being done through this very same device or this system that was built so these researchers could share their information and warehouse data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thankfully we can move on to the technical area because I'm far more comfortable with that than I am chemistry. So, in 1989 at Johns Hopkins University, they built the genome database with a grant from Howard Hughes Medical Institute. And it was designated to become the central repository for genome information from wherever the research was done. So all the research facilities that were doing research would share their information on their discoveries on genetic structures as they found them. And something interesting here, this date is very intriguing to me, that on September 1st, 1991, the Department of Energy and the National Institutes of Health took over funding and use of the database. And the use of the database was transformed with the primary mission being shifted to support the annual genome mapping to supporting the International Human Genome Project.
And isn't this, didn't we in the previous discussion talk about 1991, the year the world changed?
Yes. And not only that, the numbers in that are 911991, which 911 is a significant date, right?
Well, there's a lot of people out there that put a lot of stock in numerology, folks, and we need to understand that because when you get involved with these people, you know, it's almost like going to school, you know, at Hogwarts University with, you know, Harry Potter. A lot of these folks are really into this numerology and astrology and that sort of nonsense. But it has a lot of significance to them. And so if it has significance to them, it has to have significance to us because we're trying to figure out what they're doing. You also say here that the database itself changed from a standalone system to a component of the information infrastructure of the HGP. What is the HGP, the Human Genome Project?
Yes, uh-huh. But here again, okay, it started out as a national project, and then in one of the things that I read, one of the researchers indicated that basically they did a bait and switch on them, started out national, and then they hooked up and made it international. And
they almost always have to do that, don't they, in order to stay true to their own idea of internationalism, cosmopolitanism, and globalism?
Well, that's their that's the objective of the globalists. And recall we talked about in a previous segment how at the G8 summit in 1990, they decided to internationalize our computer systems, and that was followed by the reinvention of government and the whole redesign hooking up internationally. And it was a bait and switch at every single turn. And
well, Y2K points to that. We've talked about that, the very absolute necessity of making all of the computing systems interoperable across the globe, the idea of getting everybody, at least from the media standpoint, worried about their computer not being able to know what day it is on January the 1st of 2000 and in 2000, the idea that we'd all have to go to a new computer and everybody's going to have to scrap their old computer, that whole thing leads into the ability for them to use this continuous data entry from sites around the world, which has replaced the annual data entry at large meetings. Also, then you go on in these bullet points that happened at this juncture. The annual publications such as the HGM report and HGML plot books replaced with publication on demand. You notice probably all the listeners out there, you can't get a manual for your software today to save your life. It's printed out in hard copy. You've got to get it off the internet. So the idea of on-demand publications, we're seeing even in the news industry, the newsprint, all of that's falling by the wayside. A lot of the publishers are falling off, dropping off, as this new system replaces it all on an on-demand basis.
Well, that's true. I mean, the internet really did change the world. Almost as much, I mean, it's just as significant as the first printing press, that printed the Gutenberg Bible.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, it is significant, and it continues to affect our lives in ways that I don't think they ever anticipated.
You know, and then you go on a little bit, full graphical user interfaces, replacing simple terminal emulation, dial-up phone phone being replaced with direct network connections, monolithic software systems being replaced with modular designs. And all of this has been accompanied with exponential growth in the amount of data that's being managed. And it's not just the growth in the actual data that's being managed, it's the number of players or actors in the game.
Right. And when they went global, you know, with this genetic research, not everybody out there in the world has good intentions. And they went public with this genome information. And as I think, I see that as an opening of Pandora's box in a very real sense, very real sense.
We see this in these two articles that we, you know, these comparisons that we brought out at the beginning of the broadcast, the swine flu jab linked to killer nerve diseases, etc. There's the good side and the bad side to all this, folks, but everybody's got access to this information. We've got access to a break. We'll take it. We'll be back in three. Stay with us.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, Exposing the Secret Plans of the World's Elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we're back once again. You know, we talk a lot about the Second Amendment, you know, and the right to keep and bear arms. But folks, if we can understand, wrap our mind around this concept that we're playing today with a device that is just as powerful and just as potent as any weapon that was ever invented, and that is the Internet. A major component of the research infrastructure was the NSFNET. Well, we call the Internet today, again, I'm reading from this article that Vicki has produced for us, the Human Genome Project. And originally, commercial traffic on the NSFNET was prohibited to ensure adequate bandwidth for researchers, and the prohibition led to the proliferation of parallel commercial networks. There was a Pandora's box opened the day the world changed back in 91 when this Internet came on us, sent at us. It was originally developed for other purposes and for other users, let's say it that way, but it's expanded. Vicki, maybe you want to pick it up there. This is really your bailiwick.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the proliferation of other networks, what they were afraid of is that there would be underground information networks. And early in the 90s, they were already forming. And there were terrorist groups actually sharing information in these private virtual networks. I don't know how many people were ever on the Internet at that time, but they could communicate via bulletin boards and so forth. But it was early in the 90s when they made this available, because they wanted everything out in the open so the people that were doing genetics research, there was nothing hidden, because the genome is a human thing, you know, that it belongs to everybody in the human race, and I think that they wanted to make it so, and I don't really necessarily think that that was the best idea, but I can't attribute any negative motivations to them on that, because I don't know, you know.
Exactly.
I could argue it both ways.
Yes, I think it easily could be. You know, I've got a little publication here that I got a long time ago. It's called, titled Raising Hell, A Citizen's Guide to the Fine Art of Investigation, written by a Dan Noyes for the Center for Investigative Reporting, published by the Mother Jones magazine quite some time back. Let's see if there's even a date. There doesn't appear to be a date. It's probably late 60s, early 70s. But it says it's a guide to the fine art of uncovering corporate secrets, government lies, and other dirty tricks, an investigator's handbook. You could call this muckraking. But certainly there would be people that would be able to utilize the Internet, such as so many do today, for this very purpose, muckraking and exposés and bringing to the light of the day some of these dirty secrets that are out there. But the dirty secret of our gene codes That's pretty private material. I don't know whether I'm comfortable having, you know, I certainly haven't contributed knowingly to any cheek swabs or anything like that. I have no interest in doing it whatsoever over my dead body, I'd like to say, and drag it out of my cold, dead hands. But, you know, what these people have got in mind with all of this now seems to be quite the expansion. If we talk about, as you say, captive populations for medical research.
Mm-hmm. Well, personally, I was horrified, absolutely horrified by the idea of a nationalized medical records database, because I knew, because of my past experience, you know, as a systems analyst programmer, I knew what the systems that they were developing, and I also know the protocols for transferring information, and I of course also know that there is not a single corporation in this country that their databases haven't been hacked via the internet, and that includes Microsoft. So the idea of having medical records, and you just can't imagine the kind of personal information that's in a person's medical record. When you go in to see a doctor, and even when you talk to the nurse, everything that you say goes into that medical record.
Well, I can testify to that, Vicki. When my mother was in her last days, go into the doctor's office, and the doctor would be there, and a nurse would be in the room as well. And I would watch as the doctor would be asking questions and talking and making comments, and the nurse would be writing stuff down. Now, it was exceedingly haphazard, scribbled all over these various charts and things like that. But all of that information that was on that page could easily be typed into a log of some sort, and you'd have the whole record. Not only did they note the, on the sheet, and I was watching right there looking, that I was there, but who I was, and so on and so forth. So even those who go with, you know, a caregiver, even there you get drug into this matrix as well.
Well, they take those notes, but then the doctor goes and records a formal medical record of the visit, and it is then, of course, typed up, and it goes in the medical record. So any notes that you see them scribbling, those are then put into a readable and formal format. So you know, that kind of information is your most personal and private information. And
anything you say can and will be used against you. You're actually putting together a deposition form right there. So we can understand then that if we can look and tie in this eugenics movement in California in the early 20th century and start to move forward from there, that how all of these parts and pieces work together, whether you're in schools or prisons or militaries, you say here it provides a target-rich environment for the medical researchers. Why don't you expand on that a bit?
Yeah. Well, the early genetics research, they used captive populations. And captive populations, of course, are people that are in prison, people that are in the military, and people that are people that are in school, children, whatever. They are captive populations.
And what a captive population too. You know, it's almost mind-boggling. But when you think about, you know, coming forward from preschool or K through 12 for 12 years, you know, every day, 5 days a week, for hours a day, you're trapped inside of this panopticon world where everything that you do, everything that you say can be monitored, can be tracked. I was reading on the web the other night where part of this H1N1 thing is going to be the teachers. The teachers will be looking. They know the students. They know whether or not they're acting antsy today when they ordinarily don't, and so on and so forth, and they could be making notes of that. You know, if a student was having a bellyache or something like that, the teacher could mistake that for a symptom of a flu or something, and, you know, it could start one of these bell-ringing school closures.
Well, yeah, that's true, and that comes into play in this whole thing later on, but in terms of participating in school, they've got a whole list of vaccines that they want the children to have, you know, before they can even go to school. And so since the school has the ability with the backing of the state to say you must have these vaccinations, even though it's not really true, they tell people that, they qualify as a captive population for certain kinds of research, and as time progresses, it will be even more so.
Yeah, that's true, and there are just so many things about public schools and public education that I find repugnant. Even this idea of having a list provided to each student, and all the parents have to just provide all the stuff on the list. But anyway, they're packing Uncle Tom's trunk. Unfortunately, it's not going to be a fun vacation. We'll be back on the other side of this break with our guest, Vicki Davis. Stay with us.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so as we move into this study a little bit further with our guest, Vicki Davis, by the way, you can go up to her website. It's www.channelingreality.com. And look at all of the articles that Vicki has written there. There's so much research for you folks. It's just an absolute plethora, a treasure trove of quality research, all of the sourced out and linked for you. Lots of good quotations, good material to study. But in this particular article that you can find at the link Become Vocal Local on that homepage, the Human Genome Project, we start moving into this logistics for the genome, genomics applied science. And we're talking, we started in the 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s as we started coming in, naming some of the names and finding some of the players. We find the Harrimans involved in this, the Carnegies involved in this, but as well, Hughes, and that brings in aerospace. So here, 90 years after this whole direction really started happening in North America, we find Senator John Glenn. Now this would tie right back into NASA and the rest of that, you know, but here, John Glenn, chairman of the Governmental Affairs Committee, you write, made a request of the GAO to study the potential benefits of automation of medical records. So, you know, we can understand, folks, that the senators don't make any, they hardly open their mouth on their own. Just, they're like, you know, we say, they're like little puppets. They're like marionettes. They sit on somebody's lap and glad to do so. They've got a hook in their jaw to run their lips, you know. And strings on all of their fingers, so they just bob and dance and weave to whomever was paying the bill. But in 1990, when Senator John Glenn requested the GAO to study the potential benefits here and the factors that would inhibit the implementation, in January of 1991, the GAO then presented their results of their study to this committee. So we can see that, indeed and in fact, you know, 1990, 1991, are very fundamental years. They're like tipping points as we go from the old world order of the industrial society into the new world order of this high-tech, interoperable, intercommunication system. Vicki?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And the original request was to study, to support automated medical records as a part of the HHS's mandate to conduct research on outcomes of healthcare services. So that was the original idea from the beginning, was basically medical research, because by definition, if you're studying outcomes of healthcare services, then you're doing it for a purpose of medical research.
Well, you know, how could anyone, you know, fault somebody for being a good record keeper? Even if you're just selling vacuum cleaners, you want to know how many doors you had to knock on to get a sale. But this is a much deeper level of that record keeping. Again, it goes back two sides of a coin, the obverse and the reverse side of the coin. It can be used for good. It can be used for bad. But automated medical records has much to do with a big lobby. One of them is, of course, the AMA. But in addition, there's all of the clandestine sides of that. So let's just continue. Kind of interrupted you there, but I felt, you know, compelled to get that out.
Well, that's okay. And also, let's not forget pharma, big pharma.
Absolutely.
The traditional way of studying medications is quite expensive, you know, to do small population studies. So they had to be virtually salivating at the idea of a full population to be able to study the outcomes of medications on, you know, entire populations of people. So you can bet that they were behind promotion of this.
Well, it's like this whole idea of the swine flu jab, you know, that we're talked about in the beginning of the broadcast. What could be better, having never tested it on humans, to test it on the entire global population in one fell swoop this October?
Yeah, if anybody is dumb enough to let them do it.
And live through the experiment.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm sure everybody remembers back in, or at least everybody my age, you know, remembers back in 1992, 1993, when Hillary Clinton got together with Ira Magaziner, and they were redesigning our entire healthcare system. Well, the nationalized medical records system was at the very heart of that redesign of the healthcare system. And you can imagine, you know, how many entities would be involved. Basically, the government would be assuming the major costs for maintenance of everybody's medical records. And so, you know, you've got doctors and hospitals and facilities you know, it's just mind-boggling when you think of the number of entities that would be involved if you decided to nationalize something like medical records.
But, of course, you know, we think about who's going to pick up the tab for all of this, you know, in this social democracy that we live in. You know, the idea of two wolves and a sheep, we've all heard that, trying to make up their mind for who's going to be for dinner. Obviously, the sheep's going to take it in the shorts there, but if the sheep also has to pick up the tab, so it makes it even worse. So if they can bring this out and make everyone have to pay for the chains of tyranny that are being clamped on us, to pay for this intrusion, to pay to become lab rats or gene pools, it's really even more egregious. But in addition to that, Vicki, you know, like here locally, we have one of these St. John's Medical Hospitals. This past year, they posted something like $2.8 million of profits. Out of the 2.8 that they pulled down, about $800,000 went to the staff costs. The other $2 million was, you know, basically sucked out of the community on the top. So we could see that the medical profession, the cost of the doctors, that's one aspect. But there's a huge business behind that, and they are building out, you know, just from this small rural community in southwest Missouri, a couple of $1 million that could be used to lobby towards getting together a nationwide health program. So all of these little parts and pieces work together. To be sure, along with the IT aspect.
Yeah, well, that's one of the really seriously negative parts of the this transformation to a science-based technological world is that they're designing all of these computer systems. The government is absorbing a lot of the costs of it, which means these large corporations are outsourcing their costs to the taxpayers, minimizing their cost to produce the end product. And the difference, you know, in what they were paying, what they are paying, is going right directly into the pockets of the CEOs and key men of the organizations.
And the Federal Reserve and all of the cartel that's behind the banking industry, too.
Yeah, well, it every single system that I talk about, you find the same pattern, regardless of whether it's the supply chain management system, the farm-to-table food safety system, the education system and worker training, workforce development training, which is called, you know, human resource management system. This system, you know, where the hospitals and doctors will be outsourcing their costs of maintaining medical records to this government-wide infrastructure. So, you know, the corporations are outsourcing their costs or socializing their costs and privatizing the profits.
Well, one of the things that it took me a while to get the idea of, but as I was reading through the articles on your website, Vicki, is that, yes, indeed, and in fact, you're pointing at the same, you know, the way I like to say it is, instead of going off and chasing after symptoms and or making a big study out of victims, we need to be focusing our attention on the real disease. And if we can eradicate those diseases and get them into check or eradicate them, then we're going to be so much better off and on the road to recovery. And so many of your articles, they're all pointing at this same disease, and it's going back, and you're showing how it's come from 100 different directions, but it always keeps coming back to this interoperable, interconnected IT system.
Yeah, the enterprise architecture and the redesign of government. And you can trace that back to 1990 and George Bush and his speech on the enterprise of the America's initiative, which basically, and couple that with his executive order to sell U.S. government-owned infrastructure, you can see that the objective was to dismantle the U.S. government and to stand up a one-world system of governance at an international level. So understanding the architecture of the enterprise, the design, the redesign of governance and how that connects up to international coupled with these other things, you can see that the strategy was treason.
Well, we'll have to hold on to that treasonous strategy, folks, and we'll pick it up on the other side of this break. Stay with us for the final segment of today's broadcast. Be right back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
And certainly we can all understand and appreciate, Vicki, this transformation that happens is that when we start to go from a system of government or the constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government we all love to champion, holding up our citizens' rule books. But if we can understand and wrap our minds around this concept of changing over to a corporate administrative law, a corporate policy system for not only the commercialization of the Internet, but the commercialization of the United States and its relationship with all of its trading partners. You know, we report on these little basket of currencies, and Timmy Geithner's got his little basket of currencies. Folks, you can forget about national sovereignty. That stuff's out the window with these boneheads, but you hit it right on the mark, Vicki, when you say treason.
Yeah. Well, I can't see it any other way, because what they were doing is selling the United States out from under us, and privatizing the functions of government, leaving just the core functions, what you would call the core functions, which is the police state. And all of the fusion centers being implemented around the the country with the patriots, the American people, as the targets, and the people who read and understand the Constitution being put on the list of terrorists. I mean, you'd have to be a total bonehead not to get it.
Exactly. Absolutely, you know? Correct. And when we look at various people in all of this, you've got this brief bio of this Ira C. Magaziner. These are the kind of people that, you know, make me want to do a little bit of headbanging on the nearest wall. But this guy is a real piece of work. He currently, according to your article here, he was at the time of this writing the chairman of the Clinton Climate Initiative and the Clinton Foundation for HIV/AIDS Initiative. But you say here, from 93 to 98, he served as senior advisor to President Clinton for policy development in the White House. But what's really interesting in here is this guy's background, his bio. He's a corporate strategist. He has been involved with consulting firms assisting major corporations in developing their business strategies. Prior to forming his own company, he worked in Boston, London, and Tokyo. This is a guy that's really, just a solid, hardcore American, isn't he?
Yeah, right. Oxford Rhodes Scholar. Uh-huh.
Yeah, keep going. Tell us about him. This guy's
something else. And he was co-chairman of the National Commission on Skills of the American Workforce, which with the former Labor Secretary William Brock, which in one of our previous sections on war in the context of everything else, William Brock is one of those people that if you follow his history, his hands are everywhere basically the selling out of the American people, and you can see the planning for the sellout of the American people by following his career. You know, his career is a trail to treason.
And so many of these people are, whether you tie them up with the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission or whether they're just free agents working, you know, they work at all of these levels. And for people like yourself and myself and many of our listeners, Vicki, as we do our study, you know, I keep a list of these names, these recurring names, and it just amazes me all of the different, you know, backroom deals, all of the different smoke-filled rooms that you can find them in, and yet at the same time, they're completely under the media radar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're never talked about in the media, and yet they have more influence and are involved more in what's going on in our government than any of these elected representatives or elected officials.
Or even heads of state.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if you heard this or not, but last week or the week before that, one of the representatives, I can't think of his name offhand, but he admitted that they don't read the legislation.
Yes, I heard that clip.
They don't write it, and they don't read it. They just rubber stamp it, basically.
And they vote on it whether or not the constituency has the same, holds the same opinion or not. But that goes back to something that I've been teaching on from day one on Become Vocal Local on this network and on others. And that is the idea that our representatives, whether you're talking about your congressman or your senator federally, or whether you're talking about your local legislator or your local state senator, they represent not the people. They do not represent the people. Get this in your minds, folks. First of all, the entire party is made up of these county committee men and county committee women from all of the various county committees of the two established political parties, and of course then there's the libertarians and all the rest of them. But who they represent are their county committees primarily. Then they represent their state committees, and then they represent the national committees. And it's the state committees, the county committees, and the national committees that are financed, funded, and made possible by all of these various and sundry corporate interests that are pulling the strings, all the wire pullers. And so their representation is not to we the people in any way, shape, or form. When people go to vote, they're just signing into a contractual agreement that says we do not object to this Joe Blow being the state senator, but they're not going to represent your interest at all, except for maybe incidentally as to whatever little bag of carrots they'd come back to your district and sprinkle around from time to time. But that's largely just to ensure their reelection and to make sure that whatever products or services that their lobbyists want distributed in their area locally get distributed. But this whole idea of a representative system of government inside of the matrix of the established two-party political system is a farce, and it's a joke. It needs to be abolished, and it should be abolished in 2010.
Yeah. Well, I think it would work a lot better if we had an honest media, honest press. But as we know, they lie to us by omission. They don't tell us the important things that are going on. I mean, we get all the fluff, you know, and on national news, we get what should be local news,
The three great pillars of a representative system of government that were established by back in the 1800s, they follow along this way. Francois Guizot styled it this way. The first thing that is absolutely necessary is that you have to have in a representative system of government as we were intended to have, you've got to have a separation of powers, a clearly defined separation of powers. We don't have that. The next thing you absolutely have to have is the opportunity to vote. That's been taken away from us. The 2001 Help America Vote Act and transferring over to the electronic voting devices took that away. And the third thing we absolutely have to have is publicity. Now, publicity is not the same as public relations. Publicity is not the same as the New York Slime or the Washington Postal or any of these other publications that are out there or ABC, NBC, Fox, or the others. All of that's propaganda. That's the public media. So what we need is publicity, and publicity means that these bills actually get read, that people understand them, that we have an opportunity to interact at all of these various junctures and stages. So we have none of the three principal planks remaining of a constitutional limited republican form of representative government, which basically just simply reiterates or reaffirms the fact that we've gone into this global governance scheme, and we are in deep peril if we don't get busy and make a serious amend soon.
Yeah, well, and now that you mentioned the voting system, I mean, that was one of the ideas also, of course, was a nationalized voting system over the Internet, and they were just phasing it in, you know, with the electronic voting systems within a state. But the idea was to have a networked system the same as all of the other nationalized systems.
Right. So I don't know how it'll actually work in the end. Well, but let me say this. I want to thank you again, Vicki, for coming back. Before we get to the last second of the broadcast, I'm trying to throw it over my shoulder. I really do appreciate the time that you take to come and share this information with the audience. And I do look forward again to continuing what we're talking about today on Thursday. And listeners, again, Vicki's website is www.channelingreality.com. Channelingreality.com. Last week we went through an entire broadcast and never even mentioned it. So there you go, channelingreality.com. Look on the front page, become Vocal Local. Click on that, and you can go into the documents that we've been talking about today. But you're right, Vicki, when we look at this electronic voting system, even there, things are turned upside down and inside out as we move towards this process where everyone's going to be interconnected and interoperable. But in the last and closing moments, where are we going to work? How are we going to facilitate? How are we going to live in a life where we're all supposed to be sitting constantly in front of our computers?
Well, that's the paradox. I don't know. The idea was for people to be able to work at home. Of course, that doesn't work out because of the India situation, because of free trade.
So we're competing with the world, folks. We're also competing with the end of the broadcast. Everyone, have a wonderful afternoon. We'll be back again tomorrow with our guest, Daryl Everhart. Until
then. Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.